Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Rootscast. I'm Jeff Daverman, the creator of Root Concepts, owner of Infamous Network, and we are here discussing the ideas behind Root Concepts and how it applies to the lives of our fan base, the people that we work with, and the folks who love what we do and want to use our artwork to express themselves and succeed in their own artistic endeavors.
Hello again, everyone. You are listening to another episode of Rootscast from Never Better Studio. This is your host, Jeff Daverman, and I am joined once again by Douglas Halwerda, known to me as Uncle Doug my whole life. And how you doing tonight, Uncle Doug?
I'm really well. Looking forward to another episode here.
So this is going to be our final episode in our series of Empowerment Psychology. And, you know, before we get into it too much, I just got to say you threw some really good darts tonight. And because you're actually going to be heading out here real soon, you're a short timer here, you're on your way back to Hanoi. You actually beat me tonight, and so congratulations on that. And you know, in the time that we've spent together, we've had some fantastic bouts of darts, and I appreciate the competition that you gave me, and love the, you know, kind of the Zen quality of you know, having to focus and hit the bulls and all of that noise. So. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun having you around, and really certainly appreciate this time and that you're taking the time here with me and for my audience, and to be able to just expand on all the ideas and so many of the things that we've had private conversations about, you know, over, you know, what really is several years, I guess. Yep. But now you're really consolidating a lot of these ideas. And, of course, you have a lot of practice being a psychotherapist in Hanoi. And so these are the ideas that you're not just thinking about and talking about, but you're actually applying these ideas and helping people with them on a day-to-day basis, which, frankly, I find really impressive. I'm certainly grateful for the conversations that we've been able to have. I've learned a lot, and of course not just here on the mic, but I've learned a lot just in knowing you for so long and having the connection we do. So I'm really looking forward to you know, this last little segment here. We're gonna get a little more philosophical with it, right? And it's what you call part four, like you are in the process of writing a book. And so you're going to be continuing that process. So before we get into it a little bit, just tell me, because you're heading back to Vietnam real soon, what are your plans here going forward? Because you're talking about empowerment psychology. You're talking about writing a book. You've already done lectures that are on the Empowerment Psychology Facebook page. So what are you thinking here? What's it look like for you for the rest of 2018, let's say?
Yeah, well, as you said, I'm a psychotherapist working in Hanoi, and I've had the good fortune to be able to take what I'm calling a sabbatical, 6 months, to both travel and visit my family and friends, and then to take 3 months to really focus on the ideas that have emerged over time and over the work I've done, and apply what I've learned. And so, yeah, I'm headed back to Vietnam in a couple of days, and then I will locate somewhere along the great coastline of Vietnam and concentrate on this book. And then in January, move back to Hanoi and continue with the practice that I've established over there.
And so the contents of this book, Empowerment Psychology, is it going to be called Empowerment Psychology, do you think? Or
well, certainly that's the theme. I don't know what the title will be, but there won't be any question about, you know, that language. This is about empowerment, and it's about how psychology, how personal awareness of oneself is the method by which we come to advance ourselves and transcend what it is we might even know is possible, you know. So,
and we've discussed a lot of different ideas over the previous five episodes. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of content already, and so essentially what I'm going to be doing here for the rest of 2018, essentially consolidating the content and expanding. I mean, I guess that's a little bit of a paradox, consolidating and expanding, but you are going to take the ideas that are here in your notebook and you are going to actually formalize those and expand on kind of the ideas that we've been talking about here in this series of podcasts. And then, of course, you have the lecture series on the Empowerment Psychology Facebook page, too. So,
right. Yeah, I see it as expanding on these themes by setting more examples and also bringing in the support of quotes from people who've shared ideas of these kind in the past. There's four prominent psychologists who I draw from: Carl Jung, William James, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's not actually a psychologist, and Abraham Maslow. But I don't limit it just to those four, but they certainly have influenced my thinking and the ways that I'm putting this together. So I'll be quoting them more often than I have in the lecture series or in this, but to support these ideas. And then also just bringing in more examples, make it, you know, pragmatic and relevant and something that's actually quite useful, not just a bunch of ideas, but actually something that people could say, you know what, I can actually embrace these things, and I can see myself change, and I can take responsibility for how I apply what there is to learn here.
So the goal of the book is actually, you know, it's empowerment psychology, but just the book itself is a tool of empowerment.
It is a bit of a guide. Now, it's interesting because it's a guide to a certain point, you know. I mean, there's a bit of a paradox or an irony. On one hand, being a voice that says, here's some things to pay attention to, some things to apply to your life. But on the other hand, saying it's actually in the discovery of yourself and your uniqueness and your creativity and the freedom that comes out of knowing your inner life and being aware of your inner psychology.
So it's kind of like the ruby slippers at the end of Wizard of Oz when Glinda tells Dorothy that she has the power all along.
That's right. We often look outward for something that we can also discover inward, and maybe that's ultimately my biggest message, is that there are ways to come to know ourselves, and there is a direction to turn. And this fourth part becomes even more important to emphasize that, because while I do make a reference to the spiritual, that often can be similar to what we think of as religious or has association to ideas or belief systems. And that's not really what I'm going after here. I'm saying that there's a point at which we're always interfacing with that which we don't know. Call it the mystery of life or the forces that are beyond our rational understanding or things that are always going to be beyond comprehension, beyond a cognitive ability to master. And so as we become empowered or individual or individuated, you know, self-reliant, autonomous, it also involves understanding our place in the broader context, because to me this is a very important notion. Begin within. It doesn't mean become selfish and self-involved. It becomes seeing our place in the world, seeing what it is that represents our relationship to the world, and including things that are beyond our comprehension.
So you talked about your influences, Emerson and Carl Jung and Maslow, and what was the fourth one?
William James.
William James, yes. And William James brings us back to the writing that you did on the Never Better blog.
That's right.
And around will and acceptance and the force of emotion, that was the title of your series of blog posts that you did there. But I can't help but notice, right, begin within, inspired by the mystery, cultivate mindfulness, empowered as a sticker. All of those are stickers that we do, among others. So are we going to get a credit in the book? Root Concepts, a little bit of influence, a little bit? Come on.
Yeah, no doubt. You're already there, and it's a matter of just recognizing it, matching it up, going, wow, yeah, of course. These things have been said before. And
I try and think of, you know, my own little contribution to empowerment, because, you know, just talking about, you know, having had the Root Concept sticker line now for 22 years, and of course all of these designs have come about at different times, and John made inspired by the mystery, they don't just all come from me either, but my own little contribution is that somebody who does see value in these ideas to the point where they got $2 in their pocket and they want to advertise that idea because it represents them in some way, is kind of the operation of a bumper sticker, kind of the reason why, you know, or it represents something where it's like, oh, I know somebody who would appreciate this. Certainly. The things that you're talking about certainly back up these ideas that, you know, we creatively put in a format that people do recognize, relate to, and frankly are empowered by. You know, it's an empowering thing to peel a sticker and put it on your car or put it somewhere where you know a bunch of people are going to see it. And if it has a message like begin within, I personally still get a lot of joy in that, you know, seeing that and seeing how a simple message like that can have an influence just by proliferating it out in the world on some degree. So,
well, what I see and what I like about it is that it helps us to keep our minds on our ideals, that there are ideas and notions and ways in which, when we're focused on what we value the most or what has most meaning for us, that it's part of how it is we guide the process.
And the idea even behind, you know, the name of our brand, Root Concepts, is that they are the ideas that do ultimately allow us to be grounded, and then in the case of Inspired by the Mystery, you know, be expansive as well. So, so, you know, I feel really good about that. And of course, you know, I'm a philosopher, and I know on a level you are too. We've had a lot of philosophical discussions, and ultimately the idea of begin within, but then also Inspired by the Mystery, you know, they're both in the line, let's say, right? They're both equally pertinent, but both very uniquely their own thing, their own idea, their own way of perceiving the world.
Well, it's interesting because I think what happens is it comes full circle. And there's times when I've even thought maybe I should start the book or start the lecture series with the fourth one and work my way back to the first one. Because it is a completion of something. It gets at this notion that what it is that we're ultimately trying to pursue has less to do with, say, happiness or some high level of emotional feeling, and it has more to do with a sense of completion or a sense of wholeness, maybe even a sense of unity, to be connected to things that are bigger than we are. And I kind of look at it from the standpoint of expansiveness, and we start, rooted in very concrete, pragmatic ideas about things we can learn and know about ourselves, and we expand to see the world as it is, and then also to see our place not only in the world we're in, but in the bigger scheme of things, time and even transcendent of notions of life and death, and these questions that we don't really know the answers to.
Inspired by the mystery, right? And we've had conversations before about the way I look at how people see the world. If you can be simplistic about it, I say there are question people and there are answer people. And obviously we're, as philosophers, whatever, we're on the question people kind of side. And it's not like there's anything necessarily wrong, I guess, with being an answer person. But to me, there's a lot more limitation in getting your safety and comfort from thinking that you know answers when, in my opinion, you're just kind of fooling yourself. Because, you're not fooling me. I think that we all know that there's mystery. And yeah. So can we just start there? Can we just acknowledge that as a common human experience? Some people can't.
Well, it all ties back to, the degree of security we have within ourselves, or maybe we could call that empowerment, because empowerment then allows us to feel vulnerable, whereas if we're already afraid, we're trying to control and trying to know more than we can. I love the quote, "Know that you know what you know, and know that you don't know what you don't know," because it really represents sort of the security that comes from being clear about what we know. There are certain things, like you say, the roots. There's things we that are undoubtedly stable and secure in the world we're in, and yet we're always interfacing with that which is more expansive than we can comprehend at any point in time.
Well, certainly in the rate of change, which is something you touched on in the last episode, is very, very fast for, you related in the last episode how an 80-year-old, relates to the world is very, very different to how a 15 or 16-year-old relates to the world. And, but the grounding ultimately can be in the same place, though, even though there are a lot of obstacles to being empowered. And the 80-year-old and the 16-year-old still have the same opportunities, right? That's not different.
Well, I think this is where the word equanimity becomes an important one. Because if we learn how to reference ourselves from our inner life rather than being caught up in the storm of experiences that happen externally, equanimity is the notion of gaining or maintaining a calm despite the circumstances that exist outside of ourselves. So, yes, you're right. It doesn't have to be that any two people are so different from each other because of the experiences of life. Because at our core, in our essence, we have that capacity to be calm within to see clearly from that place of calm and to respond and make choices based on that kind of an orientation. The likeliness seems to me to be decreasing because of the amount of stimuli that's occurring. And I think it's very important that we help children and younger people understand that they have to develop a relationship with themselves and separate themselves from the stimulation. You know, the screens, the movements, the pace of life. It's really an imperative time in history for us to recognize, and it's happening. Look at how much mindfulness and self-awareness has become a big part of the collective consciousness or, you know, conversation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those things are all increasing as well, and the paradox is that we're all connected. We're connected in ways that we've never been before, even though the connection to ourselves faces so many obstacles because of, like what you're saying, the external stimulus. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of something. My friend Jacob, who's been on the show as well, you know, he has worked with Unify for a long time, and how Unify started was with synchronized meditation on the solstices, right? And so that's just, it's so crazy to think about, you know, people agreeing to meditate all over the world and knowing, you know, that this is a synchronized thing. And so there's this energy of all of these people doing this, and how they all know to do it is because of the technology and essentially external stimulus, right? And so it really is an interesting time to be alive because of things like that can happen. But I agree. I mean, obviously, you know, there are a million distractions, and it seems like there's a lot more distractions than there are solutions to be grounded and maintain. Because, you know, there's days where I wake up and I feel relatively like I got it relatively well together, and I'm pretty grounded, and everything's going pretty smooth, and it's a good day. And there's days where I don't feel like that at all. And so it's complex. Mm-hmm. Each individual and all of the things that are going on in an individual life and all of the external forces that are, you know, being imposed on that individual and the rate of change and the external stimulus and all of that really makes being a human being a major league challenge.
That's absolutely right, and I think it's important that we look at it that way. That there's these challenges that are part of the experience of living, and there are answers. We can, you know, one of the things I loved about William James is that he said that even the thoughts we think are subjective, and that we can direct those. And he was a very big advocate for habit to use structure and discipline to generate the kinds of behaviors that we want to see in ourselves. And
one way or another, you do that, right? So again, that does come back to a level of awareness, mindfulness, self-consciousness about, that's essentially what that is, right? Is a habit that then essentially turns into a discipline or whatever is a practice of making that same choice, you know, over and over, right?
Yeah, I would say ultimately it's understanding prioritization. You know, it's realizing, just like we were saying earlier, when we stay focused on our values and our ideals, and we prioritize the degree to which we behave accordingly, then we shape the direction that our lives go in. And unfortunately, we often get encumbered, and we've talked very much about what it means to be selfless and depleted and disempowered, or to be compensating by the use and abuse of power. We get caught up in the world, and really it is about understanding what the options are and how to prioritize the things that matter the most. How to, you know, another William James quote that I refer to is, the art of wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. And I'll add, and what to see on the other side. You know, what it is that we keep our eyes on, what it is that we keep as a priority in the way that we go about things. And certainly, yeah, this is relevant for me, and I think it's relevant for many of the people I've worked with individually. And so now my hope is to be able to, you know, put it out in a written form and do talks like this in ways that, you know, generates, again, some focus on it. These aren't new ideas, but this is a new time and place for us to reconsider this. And so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share that.
So the last thing I just want to touch on, we just got a few minutes left, and we had talked about this before, and I don't think, we talked about this off the mic, but I'm not sure that we actually addressed it on the mic, and it is the context of context. Mm-hmm. And so just explain that to the audience for a minute.
Well, there is this kind of duality in the sense that when we hold the broadest context of our experience, we see ourselves not only from the experience we're having, but from the context that we're in. I know that sounds a bit wordy, but wisdom, for example, is the ability to hold many different parts of a situation at once. An appreciation, a sense of humor, an ability to see a particular event in the context of the environment it's happening in, or the pattern of behavior that leads to it. So it becomes less reactive, becomes less emotionally intense. It becomes part of how it is that we can remain stable within ourselves, even when the world around us is influencing us. Context is, you know, the bigger picture is always part of the immediate experience we're having. And it does represent sort of the micro and the macro, the immediacy and the directness of a particular experience, but also that this isn't brand new. This isn't something that humans have not experienced before. And to keep that in mind, it's really feeds into the idea of what meta awareness is. It's the ability to see something even while it's happening. So to me, this notion of context is a very important part of, yeah, what feeds into the idea of empowerment.
Well, and it is related to the relationships that we have referred to, because the relationship with yourself, the relationship with others around you, and what's going on with them, and certainly the relationship to the world at large, and yep, all of the things that are within our control and beyond our control, and to the things that we can, use our willpower to accomplish, and the things that we have to accept, because no amount of willpower is going to do it, individual willpower or whatever. Yeah. And our ability to have emotional intelligence, emotional regulation, emotional stability, right? Yep. To be able to look at the world, a situation like what you're saying, and recognize the bigger picture, or I think you mentioned a little bit earlier, a child is a fish in the water.
Yeah.
That reminded me of David Foster Wallace, right?
Yeah,
he had that graduation speech, "What is Water?"
Yeah.
And ultimately, what he was talking about in that as well is to understand what's going on around you in a larger capacity that is just not all just about you, right?
Right. Well,
and it's not about you is another Root Concept sticker, by the way. Yeah. I was one of Scotty's. So.
Well, maybe we should end with this sort of paradox or an example of, you know, the extremes in ways that we might see the same thing. One is that when we look at the expanse of the universe and we see ourselves as being pretty insignificant, pretty minute, pretty small part of the whole.
Yes.
We have a tendency to reduce that down to something that potentially has no meaning.
Right.
I'm just a grain of sand
in
the big...
Even in the present moment and even in the context of history, even, right?
Right. But paradoxically, there's no other person that represents the person you are, living at the particular time and place in this experience called human life. And so you represent all the potential, all the possibilities that any human being has ever had. So on one hand, we could say that we represent something minute and small, and on the other hand, we could say we represent everything that is.
Sounds kind of like Carl Sagan or something, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you're the stardust, and you are the, you know, manifestation of the universe, and...
Co-creators, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The human species and the history of humanity is one that's continued to open up to what it is that's possible. And each one of us represents that for all of us.
Well, and really, with what you're trying to do with these ideas and the idea of empowerment is allow more people to have access to that.
That's right, to discover what it is that really represents the experience of living from a position of being empowered.
Yep, that's right. Okay, Doug, well, it's been really great. And thank you so much for sharing all of your own understandings and really truly wisdom, I believe. You know, I think that you're destined to take all of this and put it into something that's going to be a great tool for humanity. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I know you're going to be getting to work on it real soon. I mean, obviously, you already have done a ton of work on it, and I know you're going to keep going on it. So we're really looking forward to continuing going forward, and I hope that we can do this again soon as well. And thanks again for all your time, and it's been great having you.
Well, and thank you, Jeff. You know, I think even doing this podcast, it's a you know, kind of a public example of what it is that we often talk about in private, you know, and in that way, I don't feel like, you know, my writing of this book is solely something that's coming from me. It's actually coming from what's generated in relationship to you and other people, you know, who share ideas. And I'd encourage other people to be thinking about that. The conversations they have are really how ideas get brought to light. And I'm hoping that I can do it in a way that is relevant and poignant and helpful in some way. It feels like it's a natural next step. It's coming out, and we'll see what happens. And maybe a year from now, we'll be talking about, you know, what did happen. So thanks for the opportunity, Jeff.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening to another episode of RootsCast. I'll tell you, when Uncle Doug gets his book published, we will certainly let you know. And really appreciate everybody's participation in listening to our conversations, because we've had great conversations over the years, but these are the first ones that have really been recorded, and I feel great about having it be part of the legacy of what I'm doing here. So, all right, take care, and we'll catch everybody on the flip side.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of what we're doing here at Root Concepts. If you were inspired by what you heard, click the link in the show notes and enter your information so we can send you more great messages like the one you just heard. Until next time, this is Jeff Daverman signing off. Thank you for listening. Peace.